Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I am in a noisy parking lot. I hope you can hear me pretty good. Cars and trucks going by. I want to come back to our Matthew study. We are in Matthew 24. Today we're going to get through 21 to 31. And we're going to keep going as we can. Now, this particular chapter, I like to call it the pre-trib exposing chapter, because it totally refutes the idea of pre-trib rapture of God's people that most of evangelicalism believes in. So we're going to expose that as we go. If you ever need help exposing that, maybe you can use this recording, to this teaching audio, to do that. Okay, so remember, as we're going here, this is Jesus telling his disciples the signs of the last days. Okay, that's what's going on here. All right, let's get at it. Verse 21. And then shall be great tribulation, such as not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Okay, Jesus is warning his disciples and us about the great tribulation that is going to come. Now, if you remember the last study, we talked about something called preterism. They believe that all this stuff has already happened. Well, this is another reason that it's likely not true that it's already happened. Why? Well, Jesus goes on to say it's going to be the worst time in history. That hasn't happened yet. And we're going to see signs from this study that clearly haven't happened yet. So kind of refutes preterism as well as we go. So Jesus is saying it's going to be the worst times the world has seen nor ever shall be. Serious stuff here. Verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Okay, so in these extreme times like man has never seen, Christ says no one's going to survive unless the days are shortened. Now, when we study the book of Revelation, you read through it, about two-thirds of the earth is killed off during the tribulation. So that's very severe, makes sense. Unless the days be shortened, everyone would be killed off. This verse also gives us, as I was saying at the beginning of this teaching, pre-trib rapture exposing, because it appears that Jesus is saying the elect are on earth during the tribulation days, and he shortens them to spare the elect. Yeah, think about that. If the elect are gone, why does he have to shorten the days to spare the elect? Doesn't make any sense, does it? No, pre-trib rapture does not make any sense. Jesus, as when we get there, in verse 31 of Matthew 24, says, at a trumpet he gathers his elect. Right? So that's when he comes and he gathers his elect, when a trumpet sounds. Well, when does a trumpet sound, you might say, Brother James? Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52. I behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, this is talking about the rapture, they call it, the twinkling of an eye. When? At the last trump. For the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Jesus says a trump, Paul says a trump, Paul says it's at the last trump. Jesus returns at the last trumpet to get his elect, not before in some secret pre-second coming. Nope. I have articles on all this at the teaching blog. Look up pre-trib rapture exposed. It's there to help you refute these false teachers. Verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, Christ, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Okay. Here he goes on to warn us about a time when people will be saying, hey, Jesus is here, he's over there, he met with me here, he's talking to me here. Folks, we are in these days today. I meet people in the streets almost monthly, if not more, that tell me Jesus is coming and meeting with them. Jesus is coming to their church building. Jesus meets them in their barn. All types of places. Cults, churchianity people. They're claiming Jesus is showing up all over the place. Houses, buildings, closets. Books are written about people saying they've met Jesus face to face. People claim he's talking to them in person, showing himself to them. No, Jesus says don't believe them. Jesus is not appearing to men today as he did when the scriptures were being penned. He will come in the clouds. Every eye will see him. I'm going to give you a scripture verse on that. Jesus warns us, don't listen to these people that say he's coming and meeting with them here and there. It's not happening. We'll get to that verse about every eye as we go. Verse 24, and there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Okay, once again, he's talking about the elect. If it was possible, them being deceived. False teachers, false messiahs. Yep, this too is happening today at a rampant scale all over the world. There is a rash of the New Apostolic Reformation movement, fake healers, false religious people, false teachers. They're claiming healing. They're claiming powers. These are crazy tongue-talking people. Jesus is appearing to them, but they have not the fruit of his holy people by doctrine, so they're not his holy people. Signs and wonders, so-called, are happening all over the world today. And Jesus says, he warns us about this, and then he says they could deceive the very elect if it were possible. The word elect is eklektos. It is favored or chosen. So I have a question. The elect are those who are in Christ, right? Who can be in Christ? It's not just a special chosen group. Jesus said in John 3, whosoever will come can come. But the elect are those who have answered the call, been born of him, and are striving to abide in his word and his love. That's who the elect is. So false teachers, false messiahs, signs and wonders are going to be happening, and they are happening today. Open your eyes, look around, test to the scriptures, test every man-made doctrine you're listening to or hear. I hope you're not listening to a bunch of false teachers. You will be deceived if you put your trust in them. Cling to the holy scriptures, and then cling to men that are teaching it, rightly dividing it, and have lives that have the fruit of living for Christ. Verse 25, behold, I've told you before. 26, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. Okay, I just talked about this. Jesus reminds them, he said it already, so this is like a pay attention moment. And I'm amazed, all right, how precise God's word is. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, is telling us exactly what's going to happen in the last days, and it's happening all over right now. Along with, remember our other study, wars, pestilence, famines, disease, rumors of wars, earthquakes. All this stuff is happening and coming to pass. This is just an amazing time to be alive. Fake Jesus appearances, so-called revivals happening all over the place, moves of the so-called Holy Spirit, fake healings. These are all of the enemy Satan. These are not of God's move, God's hand. How many people, like I said, tell me they're meeting in the closet with Jesus, or they're seeing him in secret places, out in the woods, out in their tree stands. It's just not true. These are false Christs, false spirits. They're made up stories, or they're demonic familiar spirits. We're not to believe these fakes. In these last days, Christ is coming, and every eye is going to see him. I'm going to prove that to you. Don't be deceived, saints. Cling to God's word. Verse 27. By the way, Jesus said deception will mark the last days. As I go out and street preach, I see thousands of people deceived, following false teachers, false doctrine, false ways. Yeah, that's happening too in these last days. Deception, don't be part of it. Verse 27, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying they're going to tell you, oh, he's over here in a secret place, or he's over here in a chamber, or he's over here in my closet. Then Jesus goes on to say, as lightning cometh out of the east. Notice that description. His return is a huge public viewing event. Have you ever seen lightning? Sister Debbie and I just experienced the most amazing lightning storm this summer that we've ever seen. The sky was lighting up. Unbelievable. I'm sure you could see it for many, 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 many miles. Jesus' appearance is going to be like that, and every eye is going to see him. I'll get to that scripture verse. It ain't a secret thing. Jesus says he's coming out of the east like lightning shineth unto the west. Everyone's going to see it. Ready? Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Yeah, Jesus' second coming will be a worldwide appearance, not a secret thing. Oh, to be alive in that day. What a glorious day that will be. Notice it says, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. They're not going to be happy about it. We'll get to that. I'll describe that a little bit here as we go. Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles gathered together. All right. So this verse alludes to all the death that's going to take place over the tribulation all over the world. Again, 2/3 of the earth's population will be killed off. That word eagle here, better situated to be vultures, can be either or in the Bible. Here's an example, Isaiah 34:15. There shall be the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow, and there shall be the vultures also gathered, every one with her mate. If you look at that Hebrew word, a vulture, it can also mean falcon. So falcon, vulture, eagle, all kind of the same type of bird. It's interchangeable, but the key is vultures generally are the ones that eat carrion, dead carcasses. Sometimes eagles will too, but vultures are known for that. That's what God created them for. They're God's cleanup crew. They eat all the dead things. Also, I thought this was an important note to pass on. In the Old Testament, would have been in the Gospels as well, to die and be eaten by scavengers was offensive, and it was considered a dishonorable way to die. You know, you're supposed to die, then you're supposed to take your body and entomb it or bury it and treat it with respect, not feed it to animals or let it be fed to animals, right? Let's look at how David and Goliath talk to each other. It'll give us an example of that. Ready? First Goliath, 1 Samuel 17:44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. Yeah, that was a derogatory thing. I'll kill you and let the wild animals tear you apart and eat you. Not a good way for a man's body to go into after it's expired, right? Not a good thing to happen, to be ripped to shreds by animals. And what does David say? Verse 46 of 1 Samuel 17. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Yeah, so David turns it right around and says, I'll feed you to the birds and the fowls of the air. So it was dishonorable. That's what this is talking about here, that all this death and killing. Vultures are going to eat the people of the world that have turned against God. They're going to die brutal deaths, and their fate is set for the scavengers. Revelation 19, 17, and 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, great and small. Yeah, there's going to be a great feast by these vultures and these birds of prey when all of this death happens in tribulation time. This has not happened before. This is an event that is yet to come. Verse 29, Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. All right, so here's another verse and truth that refutes the pre-trib rapture and that these events already happened, called preterism. When did the stars fall and when did the sun and moon go dim? I haven't seen it yet, have you? It also says after the tribulation, these things happen. The tribulation has not happened yet. And when does Jesus appear? Preacher, folks, if you read the scriptures, he appears after the tribulation. He comes for the elect after the tribulation. I've already read you those scripture verses. We'll get to a few more. Verse 30, and then shall the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They see him. Nothing secret. Even the world sees it. The unbelieving world sees it. The enemies of God sees it. He appears in the clouds after the tribulation, not before, and the elect are still on the earth. Hello, pre-trib folks, you're being exposed here. I hope you repent of your man-made doctrine that's deceiving you. It causes people to live a life like, I don't really have to worry about going through tribulation and be strong in my faith and all that, because I'm going to be taken out, raptured, and I'm going to be set apart. I'm special. No, you're not any more special than anyone in the Bible that had to go through great tribulation. So Jesus appears in the clouds after the tribulation, not before. The elect are still on the earth. It's why he has to shorten the days for his elect. Notice it says the earth will mourn. Why is that? Well, those people that are alive on earth have rejected God, for most of them. Some will come to faith on earth, but very few. A puny number, Jesus tells us, are going to find the narrow path. So most people on earth have rejected God. They have hardened hearts. Even unto death, even unto their judgment that's coming, they won't cry out to God in repentance, but they get more and more angry, and they mourn at his coming. You don't think that can really happen? You don't think that's really going to happen? Let me tell you a story. I recall hearing phone calls. 2001, when the 9/11 attacks happened and the Twin Towers fell down, I remember listening to some cell phone calls from men, one in particular, that was trapped in the 105th floor, and it was on fire, and smoke was everywhere, and he was talking to the operator, calling for help. This man did not claim God. He said he was too young to die. He said, I don't have faith in God. I have small children. Get me out of here. I've got to live. He's telling the operator all this stuff. She said, they're coming for you. They're coming for you. Well, we know how the story ends, right? The whole building collapsed on him. But he, instead of being humble and crying out to God in repentance and getting ready to go meet his maker, he says, why doesn't God send wind and blow the smoke away already? And then he said, he was angry that he found himself in this situation, and why was life treating him this way? He didn't appeal to God, to God for salvation. He didn't cry out in repentance. No. You know what he did? He demanded to be rescued. Why doesn't God do something? And then the building fell and he perished, was crushed to death. Man's heart's wicked. You know, if you were in that situation and you didn't believe in God, or excuse me, you weren't following God, but you had a faith in God, apparently this man believed in God because he said, why doesn't God send wind? Right? And yet he was basically mocking and defying God. Well, this is how it's going to be in the last days. When they see Christ coming, they know, uh-oh, our judgment's coming. Here's a great example. Revelation 6, 15 through 17. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man. These are not homeless sluggards. What does it say? The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, Elon Musk, and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Yeah, did you hear that? Did you hear that? This is what they're saying is they've heard about this coming. They've heard about it. They've defied God. They've rebelled against God. They've lived in sin. They may have even believed it. Finally, their day of judgment's coming. They're asking for rocks to fall on them and hide them. This is the heart of man. It's wicked, as Jeremiah says. Who can know it? Turn in repentance. Don't harden your heart while there's time. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heaven to the other. All right. So he sends his angels. There's that sound of the trumpet. We know when it is, right? It's at the end of the tribulation. It's the last trump. And they'll gather the elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. The elect are there at the end of the tribulation. Yep, there's another dagger in the pre-trib rapture people. It destroys their pre-trib rapture doctrines. This was made up 200 years ago out of England. After the tribulation, he sends his angels to gather his elect. Again, this is not a secret second coming of Jesus to get his elect, then a public return to get his other elect. No, it's one coming to get the elect. And again, I said this before, notice the trumpet that's mentioned there. We also see a trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Let's go back to Paul to really kind of expose the preacher of rapture because it's deceiving millions of people. Let's go back to Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. When's that trumpet? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment. That's what they call the rapture. In the twinkling of an eye, that's what the rapture is, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This verse lines up perfectly with the other verses. The last trump, at the end of the tribulation, Christ returns for the elect, just as Jesus told us he would, just as Paul said he would in several other places. Saints, seekers, if you're listening, don't be deceived by man-made false doctrines like pre-trib rapture or preterism, saying stuff has already happened. Study the Word of God. Believe the Holy Scriptures with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Hey, that's loving God, abiding in His Word, and believing it. Do you understand what the Word is telling us? Have you rightly divided? Have you spent your energy studying? Are you striving? Test every word I tell you. Don't trust in my word. Test every word I tell you to the Holy Word of God. And if you do, you're either going to find out what I'm saying is exactly true because it's God's Word. Or you can email me and say, hey, you're wrong and here's why. And I'd love to hear from you. But test everything to the Holy Word of God and you'll see the tribulation is going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It's going to be the worst time ever. The saints have to endure the wrath of Satan. We don't endure the wrath of God. God won't pour his wrath on us. We have to endure the wrath of Satan. Amen. This is what the Bible teaches. And then at the end of the tribulation, he comes for his elect. Every eye will see him. He's going to vanquish evil. He's going to set up his kingdom on earth, and we will rule with him. What a glorious thing to think about. I'm going to leave it right there. We're going to pick up at verse 32 next time. What a glorious thing Jesus telling us. And remember, go all the way back a couple studies in Matthew. Do not be troubled, he said. Don't be troubled by all this. Death has to come. Wars and all this has to come. This is what happens when man chose evil. Satan's going to be allowed like a dog on a long chain to do a bunch of terror. But God's got him under control. One day he's going to be cast in the pit. All the tears are going to be wiped away. Christ is going to do away with all evil. And it's going to be a glorious return to how the Father's creation was in the beginning. Are you looking for that day? Are you living for that day? Are you not living for the things of this world? Seek ye first the kingdom. And we're here to help you do that. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel. All the other resources. All right, till next time. We love you all. Thanks for listening. Go out and have a glorious day. And may God be praised.